Hi, I am Harriana Hook, and welcome to the Memoir of a Descendant Stan. We always start every podcast off with a descendant's quote. The descendant's quote of the day is no laughing, wrinkles. Today's special guest is someone who has a great appreciation for animation. No matter what it is, he will find a way to make you feel something. His content is told through hilarious jokes and a great soundtrack. My personal favorite videos from him are The Replacements Review, Baby Blues Review, Y'all Got Mike Lewinog effed up, and his Franklin Problematic Every Peanut Special Review Volume 3. Please welcome Tariq Tariq.
Yo, what's good? That was an amazing intro. I was like dancing and shit while you
Out the corner of my eye.
were.
I was trying not to look at you because I was like, I know if I look, I'm gonna laugh. But
I appreciate all of that. Thank you for having me.
yeah, I know a lot of y'all, I apologize for this podcast not being updated since like January. Life has happened. And also he was supposed to be here earlier, but he bailed on me, so
A lot of this is my fault. A lot of it is my fault. I will take responsibility. I am, as just the kind of guy I am, I take responsibility for when things are my fault. And that was definitely my fault.
No, I got no
I
excuse though, because
agree.
I could have still been posting when I did it.
Nah, I mean, I know how that go. Sometimes, like, if I mentally tell myself that a video is next, even though I know there's other stuff I could be doing, I have to do the one that I mentally told myself is next. So
That's
I
what
get it.
I told myself about when I did Song with the South, Song of the South. Because I was like, this is the next video, but I was like, nah, I can't focus on shit else right now because this movie was so fucked up. Don't watch Song of the
I could have told you that. Why the fuck you walking songs and stuff? First one, when you asked for it, I was like, why are you watching Song of the South? Like, that movie does not kindle joy. I mean, like, there's Zippity Doo-Dah, that's a cool song, but like,
That's
it goes to like that in
it's a minstrel
isolation.
song. It's literally so messed up.
Mean,
It's so
okay.
trash. Oh my gosh. Well, I was like, what the fuck is this?
I
But
think the
any
worst thing about Song of the South is that it just kind of wasted your time. It's just really boring.
Yeah,
Like,
like
I mean, I don't know if I would say Song of the South is racist. I would just say that it's really, really ignorant.
yeah.
But if you're gonna be ignorant, at least be interested and
That's
ignorant. Like, I was
exactly
just
what I said.
bored.
That's literally what I said. I was like,
It's
damn,
just a boring movie.
you could be racist. At least be interesting. This shit was boring as fuck. I
Yeah,
had
it's
to
just
pause it
boring.
like three times because it's like every time something racist came up, I had to sit down and like kind of get my thoughts together. And then also the shit was just boring as hell. I was like, if it's not being racist, it's just boring. I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I was crying because I felt bad for all the black people in the movie.
Niggas
I'm an emotional wreck. I don't. Anyway, I was like, this probably they thought this is the only chance I'll ever be in a Disney movie. So let me do this. I'm like, that's so sad. Anyway, we all know these people. But like I said, please introduce yourself.
Oh, I
Tell
gotta
us
say
a
my
little
name and
bit
shit.
about who you are and what you do and all that jazz. So, yeah.
So I am Al Tariq Harris, otherwise known as Toonrific Tariq. I do animation appreciation videos. I'm also a filmmaker and a writer and an animator. Yeah, nah, it's kind of just that might be it. I saw a nice little Cliff Note version of who I
Yeah,
am.
a lot of you guys may recognize who he is because y'all watch my live streams. He be up in there. I literally had to make him a moderator on my like channel so like YouTube like stop flagging his
Yeah,
comments.
they don't fuck with me, son. I just be trying to be myself, and they don't let me do that for some reason.
At first I had to tell like Hero and Corin, like two of my other moderators. I was like, every time Tariq says something, just approve it. But too, I it got to a point where I was just like, "Nah, let me just make you a mod or poop your own shit there. You know what you said."
It's crazy because they don't even ask me, like, do you approve of what you just said? Like, they don't even ask me that. I would say yes
Do you
if they
approve?
did.
Do you approve of what you just said? But yeah, that's just a little bit about him. You know, sometimes I call him, and yeah. So the first question that I have for you
Right.
today. Okay, so like I said, since I told you that I said I have like four favorite videos from you, but like out of all of those, my favorite one is the replacements one. So what made you want to do the replacements video? Like,
I ended up doing the replacements because in that summer I kind of had a run where it started with Emperor's New School, where I just kind of did a bunch of Disney Channel stuff. So it was Emperor's New School, and then I got a lot of, oh, actually, this is how it ended up happening, because I was doing that Disney Channel run, but I wanted to figure out what people wanted next. So I did a poll, and American Dragon won the poll. So I did American Dragon, but the Replacements was second on the poll. So that's how I ended up doing the Replacements next because it was second. I remember around that time, I had known Veritas Joe for a couple months at the time, and he was just kind of like, yo, if you end up doing the Replacements, like, let me get on there, I'll probably say something. And I was like, cool, that could happen. But really, the Replacements video was because, I mean, not the video in us of itself, but like how it's put together was because earlier that summer I did a video on the Little Lulu Show, which is my favorite video I've ever done.
I was gonna
And
get to that later.
I
We're
love
gonna
that
get to Lil
video.
Lulu later. We're gonna get to that one later.
But that video at the time, I thought, like, I'm like, this is probably the funniest thing I've ever done on this channel, because it was just like joke after joke after joke. But it didn't do too well because people didn't really care about the franchise. So I was like, all right, I want to do the same thing I did over here, but I want to do it with something that people are actually going to watch. So that's why the Replacements video is just kind of joke, 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 like a mile a minute. Because it was like, I'm gonna try to do the same formula that I did here, make it really funny, but I'm gonna do it with something that people want to see. So yeah, that's where it came from.
It's just something that I don't know if this is just me, but it's like that summer, like when I started like watching your videos. Like, by the way, I watched Tariq before like we became friends with each other. So if you guys didn't know that, like over the summer, though, oh my God, this summer was so fucking weird. Like, I already like was stuck in the damn house all the time, and it was hot as hell. I was bored, and I was like, you know what? Let's pick up a new hobby. Just start braiding your fucking hair all the time. So that's why that I would like throw your videos on, be watching those as I did my hair. And it's kind of like, it feels like watching a TV show. Like, do you get what I'm saying? Because it's like a show. It's kind of like everyone's different. Even though you're reviewing stuff, it's kind of like your own show because you got your own style. You got your own this and that. It got a fire ass soundtrack too to add on with it. That's why I'm just like, it's like
Thank
watching a show. That's why I was like, I really enjoyed that where I just kind of like binged all your videos as I was just like doing my hair. So yeah, I
I
really.
didn't, It took me, I caught on to that later than the audience, because you're not the only person that said that to me. Like, I remember I was around that time too, like a little, maybe even a little after that, I was getting comments of people saying, like, oh, when's the next episode coming out? Like, they would address it like that instead of when's the next video coming out. And then like, one particular person was asked, when's the next episode coming out? And then they proceeded with, like, I see these just as episodes. I don't even see them as videos. Like, this feels like a show, yada, yada, yada. And then I think, like, I don't know. One day I did kind of step back and I thought about it. And, like, I guess because of going to school for film, I adapted putting the videos together like films. Not in say, like, they're really intricate or some shit like that, but they all tend to have beginning, middles, and ends. They have theming. There's like callbacks to earlier in the video that come back later. Like all types of filmmaking techniques that I didn't realize I was subconsciously putting into the videos. Once I became conscious of that, that's when I started to play around with the format a little bit. That's how We got like Michael and Og and Scoob and shit like that. It was just because I just started playing around with the concept of like, okay, I guess I am kind of making this like a show.
I love Michael and Og. That was fucking funny. Like, they're all funny, but like, I don't know why that one. I think because that was the first time, like, I think that was before I like really like starting to get to know y'all. Like, right when I like finally like started talking to y'all, I watched like the Michael and Og video, and I was just like, I don't know what it was. I was like, why is this shit so funny? I was like, I feel like I'm in good company with these people.
It's
I don't
because
know, like.
it's like 50, well, nah, it's 50 niggas on a school one. It was a lot of niggas on the Michael and Nog one. And that's what made it really fun, was just kind of like all of those people, like, and it all stemmed from a real place. Like, it was more authentic than the school one, because the school one was authentic, but the Michael and Nog one was really authentic because niggas was mad. Like, I remember that day vividly. Like, it was the middle of summer, and we were talking about cartoons in the chat. And then I said some shit like Michael and Og is goated. And niggas was like, cap, fuck out it. Like, they was going crazy. And I'm like, what? Like, am I literally the only person that liked this? And they was dogging me like Chilixion, man. Nostalgia, like everybody in the video was on me, Dub, Mars, like all of them niggas, and it lasted the whole year. So,
Over Michael and Og,
yes, they
and
was on me for the rest of the year about that, up until that video, because all of this that I'm talking about happened maybe, I want to say like July,
yeah.
maybe. And the thing about those ensemble videos is I try to put them out, well, the Michael and Og one came out on my birthday. The concept is supposed to be all of my friends are roasting me on my birthday. And that was supposed
Yeah.
to be the concept of the school video, but that one ended up taking too long. But yeah, that shit was rough. But yeah, nah, them niggas was on me for like at least a solid few months, like for the rest of the year. Like, it was consistent. And I was like, man, do this video. Like, I'm gonna do this video and I'm gonna set you niggas straight. And originally, this was before we met Deli. We didn't
Wait,
know Deli.
really?
Yeah, we didn't know Deli back then. So that we already were gang, like, niggas sent me audio. The video was getting put together before we knew Deli. We met Deli in December, actually. So we were putting the video together. The
Wait,
video
December
had
twenty
no
nineteen,
end.
right? Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. So the video had no end. Like, that whole, like, Deli pretty much fixes the video in like a theming standpoint, right? Because
Yeah.
Deli is the one person that comes out and says, yo, nah, this is cool. And it's cool that you like it. There's some things to like here. Pretty much validating me. And
Yeah.
that kind of ties the video up in a nice little bow. But that wasn't all. Like, Deli was literally the last addition. Like, that wasn't gonna happen. Like, it was just gonna be my friends making fun of me for half an hour, and then I don't even know how it was gonna end the video. I just know that that's just how it was gonna go. It was just supposed to be really stupid. But when Deli came in, it ended up becoming really sincere. And that ended up being the formula that we follow for Scoob. I like it. I think it. I look fondly back on both of those. Like, I like both of those videos a lot.
Yeah, that's I don't know why it makes I keep thinking that all of y'all have known each other forever. I was like, wait, y'all didn't know Deli when y'all did that? I don't know why. I
Nah,
always feel like
it
I've known
feels
each
like
other
we known
forever.
Deli forever, but yeah,
I feel
nah,
like
we know
I've
Deli
known y'all
forever.
forever, and it's only been October. Like,
Yeah, right.
time don't I
Yeah, October.
y'all know all my
Makes sense.
damn business. Like, okay, we're going into the next question. Oh, it's right there. Okay, since I told you my favorite video from you was The Replacements, what is your favorite video that you've done and why? So yeah, go talk about Lulu.
Lulu video, man. I love that video. That's just, I don't think I've ever come close to like that kind of pacing. Like, that the video I think is like really well paced, and I really like all the history stuff that's in the opening and all the opportunity I take with jokes, a lot of my delivery. Like, it has some of my favorite jokes. It has one of my favorite AMVs at the end.
Yeah.
Like, and the franchise was something that, like, I never thought I'd be able to talk about. And I never thought people would listen if I spoke about it. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of those things that was, like, really important to me as a kid. And, like, I'll be honest, like, even as a kid, even though it was really important to me, I didn't think that there was a lot to it. But it was interesting to look into that and figure out what exactly made the show tick, and like, where did certain characters come from and how did they change over time, and like all of that stuff was really cool. And you know, even regardless of that, there's certain videos that like just kind of either grew on me or have a really special place in my heart. I remember as soon as the ginger one came out, niggas was like, yo, this is the best one you ever did, yada, yada, yada. Niggas was crying, like, all of that. And I was like, word? Like, I ain't really think about it that much. However, I look back on it now, and I really admire how it's put together. Not only that, but that video in particular changed my entire life. In ways that, like, I'm still feeling. Yeah. And it is all because of a 3 a.m. FaceTime. That is the only reason my life is where I am right now. Because my homeboy Ed FaceTimed me around, like, 2, 3 a.m. Nah, I'm probably exaggerating. It might have been, like, 1. It was a time where a grown man shouldn't be FaceTiming another grown man. But he FaceTimed. It was just me, and he was in the room with his roommate, Patrick, and they were going back and forth. They were looking at, like, a tier list for Nickelodeon cartoons, and they were asking me where certain shows went, and I'll say a letter, and then we'll talk about that for a little bit. And they said, as told by Ginger, and I think I said C tier? I think that's what I said. And then he was like, for real? Like, and he started talking, and he was like, yo, you know, Ed is gang-ho Connecticut. So he was like, it'll take place in Connecticut, yada, yada, yada. He hadn't even seen the show in years. He was just rooting for it because it took place in Connecticut. Then he was like, how about I play you in 2K, and if you lose, you got to do a video on As Told by Ginger. And I was like, okay, fine, but we got to record it. So, pulled up, played the game. I obviously lost. Watched the whole show in 2 weeks. Wrote the script. Went to put the video together.
Yeah.
And apparently Twitch deletes footage after a certain amount of days, which I didn't know. So, I didn't even have the footage of the game anymore.
Yeah.
And I was really distraught because I bring it up in the video and I reference it a few times and I was really upset. And then Ed came over while I was literally like this, like hand on my head, like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. And Ed was like, what if we just play the game again? And I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. So we played it again. However, there is a switch that you're supposed to hit on Twitch that lets you know that it will save your footage, which we didn't hit.
Yeah.
So we played it a third time. So the score you see, I didn't lose that bad the first time we played the game. It was because I was very tired. I lost. I lost all three times. But the third time was because I was really tired and I just wanted to make my video. So that's why I lost by like 100-something. And that's why the score looks that ridiculous. But I think it's cool that the score is that bad because it's funny that way.
It's funny that you bring that up because, you know, Kaylin, that's in your server, she's in my server, like, we met up because we have a mutual friend named Jace who was actually one of my work friends, and he's actually my castmate now. I ain't seen Jace in a year, so I wanted to see him, and him and Kaylin, like, the only reason why I, like, met up with her is because she knew him, so I was like, okay, I know if she knows him, she's good people, so I did meet up with her. She's real, real cool, but they brought up the entire, like, Ginger thing, because Jace, like, I don't know shit about video games, so Jace was, like, looking at the score, and he was like, how the fuck did he lose that bad?
And yeah, like, it is almost kind of comedically impossible.
Yeah, they was like, roasting your ass. They was roasting your ass so bad. Like, we were sitting out there by the lake and everything, and they were just laughing at you. We're like, how the fuck did Tariq lose that bad?
Nah, that is kind of comedically impossible. But really, I guess the way it changed my life is because that video, that 2K game has the nastiest domino effect on my life. Because it's because of that game that I did the ginger video. It's because of the ginger video that I met my very, very good friend, Offbeat Kiki.
We love
because Kiki. Because they also did a ginger video, which I saw before I did mine.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what I do sometimes. If I'm doing like a series review, I kind of watch other people's videos, not only to make sure I'm not stepping on any of their points, but also kind of to validate some of my thoughts. There was some episodes of the show that I didn't like, but then I watched some videos by Old School Lane and they validated me not liking those episodes. So I was like, oh, thank God. Cool. So yeah, that's how me and Keeks met. And then we kicked it for a little bit. A year later, Braceface happened, like, which is my biggest series review, like, on the entire channel.
Yeah.
And because of the Braceface video, that's how we met you. Yeah. And that's how I'm sitting here right now. So, at one phone call, changed my entire life.
It's just so fucking weird. I was like, if I never left that fucking comment on that fucking video about fucking Braceface, this would not be happening. Like, it's weird. Yeah. Life is weird. Life is rough.
Life is rough.
Gotta work on that one day.
Life is rough. But it's cool, though. It's cool to think about stuff like that, man. It's cool to think about the domino effect of certain events and, like, what it ends up as. Because I not only think of, like, that one phone call and that one video, that one game as, like, changing my life, but I feel like it made a lot of my friends' lives better because, like, people got introduced to each other through that, you know what I mean? Like, and everybody became friends, and, you know, people started working together. Like, it was just really, it's really cool to see that, like, this one thing that I did with my friend to be funny, like, resulted in, like, a really big, I don't know. It's cool to think about. It really is cool to think about.
Yeah, because I was like, I would not be having my fucking 2 a.m. phone calls with me and Kayla on the phone crying to each other. Right. Like, that wouldn't happen. That wouldn't be happening.
Exactly.
I just like having friends that like what I like for the first time ever. Like, it's weird because it's like, I've always had, okay, it's weird because a lot of my friends, like, in real life friends are nerdy, but they don't like the nerd shit I like, if that makes sense. And then, like, I also had, like, other internet friends, too, but, like, they don't, what's the word? They don't make content, so it's kind of like they're not going to get certain things. And then when I met y'all, it's just like, okay, they understand what I'm going through. This is just so much better. Like, I still love them, though, but it's kind of like, it's a different level type thing. I'm like, I love you, but you're not going to understand when I am crying about 3 a.m. because I can't get this video together. Like,
when you get older, you just realize that you got different friends for different stuff, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Some friends, I know I can't, like, call at 3 a.m. about a Family Guy joke that I saw that I thought was really funny. Like, I can't, I just can't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some friends I can, and some friends I can't talk about, like, I don't know, like Black Youngster or some shit. Like, I can't, you know what I mean? Like, some people just not gonna know who that is. Like, so it's cool to have different friends for different stuff, because you're not, so that means you're not talking to the same people over and over again. You know what I mean?
So, like, the cheese thing. No, cheese? My sister didn't get why I was laughing in the grocery store. Like, we saw that Charlie Brown cheese, like, string cheese.
Oh, can you? Man, yo, niggas was sending me that Charlie Brown cheese for, like, 6 days.
No, I saw it.
Like, if I wasn't getting tagged in it, I was getting text in a group chat, like I was getting it all. Like, I'm like, yo.
No, it was weird because it was like back in, was it like January? I saw it in the store because my sister fucking loves string cheese. So we went over to the string cheese section and I saw that and I just started laughing. She was like, why are you laughing? And I was just like, you're not gonna get it. And then I was like, let me get a picture of this real quick. So I took a picture of it and then I was like, let me send this to Rick, and I never did. And gosh, then once you start posting about the cheese thing, I was like, wait a minute, did I take a picture of this in the store? And then I was like, oh yeah, I saw this like in the store months ago and I thought of you, I just never sent it.
That's sick, man.
My ass was laughing at that for like 5 minutes and she was like, why is it funny? I was like, you're not gonna get it.
I love that I've become synonymous with Charlie Brown, though. I do really appreciate that. If there's one thing I wouldn't mind being synonymous with, it's that. So that's cool.
It's weird. We're going to get to Charlie Brown later, though. But okay. It's weird because my sisters always love Snoopy. It's weird. I don't know why she liked that dog so much. So I always kind of like associated like Charlie Brown with her. But then like you, somebody that actually liked the people. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I like the people a lot. Snoopy get on my damn nerves. Sometimes.
That dog, man, is such an asshole. Like, he's a bitch. He's a bitch. That's what Snoopy is.
I guess. Okay, yeah, I guess so.
He's a bitch. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and get to the next question. So I said, I know you went to school for a film, as you mentioned earlier, and you made 2 short films, which are great, and y'all should go check those out. They are on his channel. And you also had a web series, and basically as somebody who's making a web series, and I've made like short films in the past and worked on short films and all that stuff. What the fuck? Huh? Hold up. No, like I'm mad. How did you close out of it? Okay, but like I said, as somebody that's like makes their own, like has made short films in the past, and I'm currently making my own fucking web show, this shit is hard. Like, it's not easy. Like, it takes a lot of work. But like I said, this shit is fucking hard. I'm losing my mind right now working on it. Like, I literally been working on stuff for it all day. But the question that I got from this, like, how did you come up with the idea for those 2 films? So,
yeah. The 2 films? Yeah. I'll start with the first one. I'll start with Back to You. Back to You came from that. Fuck, how do I even explain this? So, we did Back to You in May 2019. So, the summer of 2018, I was scrolling on Instagram and I saw the cover art for the song Back to You by Jane Doe. And that was the first time that like cover art had made me go listen to a song.
Yeah.
So I listened to it and then I just became obsessed with it. At that time, that summer, my grandfather was in the hospital. Actually, the hospital was like around the corner from the crib. So I would walk to the hospital, and in walking to the hospital, I would just play that song on loop. Like, I would play other songs here and there, but that song was on loop that whole time. And yeah, it kind of made me think about just like, I don't know, whenever I hear music, I see things visually, and I started visualizing like a lot of the stuff that ended up happening in the film. Like, a lot of the time, my motivator to finish a project is the ending. The ending is sometimes is usually the first thing I think of. So that was one of those things where, like, I remember vividly seeing the guy shut the door and then, like, the screen just has the title up. Like, I vividly remember visualizing that. But that was, it was just kind of like a thought, right? It was just kind of like, wouldn't it be cool to use this song one day? When we got back to school in the fall, we had a screenwriting class, and everybody wrote their short films. I brought mine in, the one that I had wrote, and it was cool, but like I remember feeling like there were jokes in it a little bit, and I remember like how it felt to hear people laugh at the jokes, and I was like, yeah, damn, I really like that. And everybody else kind of went, and they had like When you get the film school, man, like, I don't know, man. Niggas not really trying to be funny. Everybody in there trying to be deep. They trying to make the next Citizen Kane. Like, they be on some, like, you know what I mean? Everybody trying to be fake deep in there. So, like, I just remember we was reading everybody's stories. Niggas was dying. Like, it was family turmoil. Niggas had cancer. Like, I'm like,
as somebody that's like worked on like the short films, like at like what the film students at my school does, I can confirm this. I died in one of them. Like,
they be
I died in both of the ones I was in, actually.
That's rough.
That's rough. I died in one of them. Keep going. What were you saying?
So yeah, when my professor, so when we wrote our first scripts, actually, before we wrote them, we came in and he was like, yo, write three stories that you would want to write. And I wrote two. One of them ended up being the first thing I wrote. But then he was like, all right, so now it's time to start thinking about your second stories. I went back to the three that I wrote, and Back to You was up there. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm gonna do this next. So I got in my dorm and I sat in front of my computer, and in the midst of trying to put it together, I didn't know where to start. So I don't know if you ever heard the story about when Matt Groening created The Simpsons, but long story less long, 15 minutes before a meeting, he just drew a family, and then he freaked out and named all of them after his family. His actual dad's name is Homer. His actual mom's name is Margaret. He has a sister named Maggie. He has a sister, like, you know what I mean? Like, he named them all after his family. And when he got the Bart, he didn't want to name the kid Matt. So he just kind of freaked out and just switched a letter on Brat and made it Bart. So I did the same thing. Everybody in Back to You is a real person. Kiana is a real person. Elijah is a real person. Colin, Moo, they are all real people. They're all my real friends. They're written exactly how they actually act. But when it got to me, I freaked out and named the character after my brother. And the girl in the film is named after his fiance.
Okay.
Yeah, and then when I wrote it, and when I got back to when I got to class, and you know, we did a table read, so everybody got assigned different parts and everything like that. And, like, it was so cool because everybody was laughing. Like, we could barely get through a page. Like, it was just big laughs all around. And it was insane. And it was crazy because after we finished reading it, they were still laughing. And then we had to read this other guy's script. And it starts off in like a fucking crime scene, like the fluorescent police lights. Like, it was something crazy. And in reading the action and reading like the action line, my professor laughed and he said, I'm sorry, I'm still thinking about the other one. I was like, yeah. But it was, yeah, that's pretty much where that came from. And when we got back for the spring and I took the directing class, I had no intentions on making that film. He was the one I was like, why don't you just use the script that you wrote before? I really like that. And I was like, okay. So that's how we ended up putting it together. Yeah, that's how we ended up putting it together. But Share My World, the second one, was because, again, another song I was really obsessed with for a while. Another ending that I visualized in my brain for a while. Just the thought of hearing that this woman has a gift and that she really wants to sing, but the audience doesn't get that. All we know, we got everything that's important. We got the fact that she found her confidence in her voice. Like, we know that much, and that's what's important. The fact, like, us hearing her voice isn't as important. Like, that was something that has stuck with me for a while. And a lot of that film kind of came from conversations that I would have with my friend Steve, that I do Sketch the Rhyme with. Steve produces. Steve's great. Steve produces Steve did a lot of the beats on like Back to You and stuff, like, and you know, he runs the pod and everything like that. He's a great, phenomenal artist, phenomenal painter, and everything. So a lot of the film was based on a lot of the stuff that he would teach me about music, a lot of stuff he would teach me about sampling. That the bit where Juliet and Robin, the bit where they listen to the Kanye record and they hear PYT by Michael Jackson, that yeah. It's documented that that's in an episode of Sketch the ROM somewhere. I don't know what episode it is, but Steve did that to me. Steve played the record and he slowed it down. Like, he did all of that. And I heard it, like, and I was like, oh shit. And I started like freaking out, like, just like how they do in the film. So yeah, a lot of that does come from me and Steve. But it was also because I remember feeling like, again, I love the reaction, right? Like, I love the laugh. Like, I love the laughs. I love all of that shit. Like, when we watched the film in front of people on a big screen in school, it was really dope. Yeah. It was really dope to hear the crowd laugh, like, and everything like that. Like, all that stuff was really, really cool. But I didn't feel like I was saying anything. And that bothered me a little bit, right? Because it is a fun film, but what exactly does it have to say? So Share My World was an attempt at making something that was funny for a good portion of it. But also, it had a lot to say. It had something to make you think. And I wanted it to be dense. I wanted every line to either say something about the story or something about one of the characters. And yeah, it's still one that I'm, like, proud of, really. Like, I'm really proud of that, and I'm really proud of how it was put together. It wouldn't have happened without my man Gavin, who did the cinematography, the lighting, the purple and the blue, yeah. And the blue and the pink. Like, that was all Gavin came in, and he was like, we didn't know how he was gonna light it. He came in, he was like, I got an idea. He put the wands up, he put the lights up, and he started lighting it like that. He was like, how you feel about this? And I was feeling it. Like, I had a storyboard. We followed the boards, like, to a T. Like, I think the only shot that was improvised was the shot where Robin is on the mixing board and you can see her hands. And it was because we took a break between takes and Gavin put the camera down. And I looked at it and I was like, wait, everybody stop. Because the camera was in the position to where you could see, like, exactly the shot. So I was like, wait, I got to get this. I was like, Danny, just move your hand on the board. And then we recorded that. That's the only shot of the film that was freestyle. The rest of it was strategically planned out. We made that movie for significantly less money. I learned a lot from my Back to You mistakes. Back to You, as you would know, putting together a project like you are doing,
yeah,
because Back to You kind of similar, where there's a lot of people and that is very difficult and hard to manage. It is very difficult to manage a lot of people, not necessarily a lot of people on set. If you got mad PAs, you just got mad PAs, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm talking about a bunch of niggas on screen. An ensemble is insane to put together, not only from scheduling, but in actually getting everybody on the same page to actually project and do the performance and everything like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, very difficult. You gotta make sure you got enough coverage and everything, like a bunch of stuff that we didn't do and a lot of lessons that I learned. So yeah, but Share My World was like, look, we gonna put these niggas in one room. We got two people talking to each other, then a third person walk in, and that's the movie. And I'm really grateful that we did it like that, because it was way easier on us. We spent significantly less money. I think I spent like $50 on food the second film day. We only filmed for 2 days. Spent $50 on food the second day. All three cast members were actually never in the same room as each other.
Yeah. I remember you told me this, and I was just like, huh?
Yeah. Like, so when there's like a scene where, like, Juliet and Robin are talking to Megan through the booth.
Yeah.
And there's like a shot, reverse shot. So when the person they're looking at and they're talking to, was me. I was the one that was behind the thing, and I was reading the lines, and they was going back and forth with me.
Yeah.
Like, because Maggie, who played Megan, she had something to do that day. Yeah. So we got all of her stuff the next day. But yeah, I don't know. I really like that film. It was really cool. And the experience that I got from both of them, I learned a lot from. So
that reminded me where you were talking about like the keyboard scene. I really like that shot. And that just reminded me of, you're welcome. That reminded me of, there's a part from our pilot, the Progeny's pilot, where it's completely unplanned. It didn't happen until we actually start shooting it, where it was the scene where, like, Mal come in the room where Freddie and, like, Evie are just kind of, like, playing around. And she was like, can I talk to Evie alone? And there's, like, a shot where, like, Mal, like, swings the door open, and that was totally unplanned, because Kat's the girl who directed it. She's so great. She was just like, wait a minute, I want to try something out. And I was like, girl, can you hurry up? I'm tired.
right. Yeah. Can I try something is, like, one of the worst things you can hear on a film set. Everybody's like, tired.
I was mad, because I was like, I'm tired. I got school the next day. I gotta take you home. I gotta take Shayla home. We gotta clean up. I was just like, girl, hurry up. And she was like, no. She was like, girl, I really think this shot would work. So she was like, I want to get a shot of her just, like, swinging out the door, like, for her to get out the room. And I was just like, girl, what the fuck are you talking about? And she was like, no, let's do it. And she was like, that's something that Mal would do. And I was like, okay. So she did it. And we only did that take in, like, I think, like, 3 shots. And 2 of them were fucked up. So I went back and I watched the footage, and it was like that one good shot, and I was laughing my ass off for like 5 minutes straight, because I was like, this was perfect. Why? Oh my God, why was I mad about this? It was perfect. And then I edited that part in. I made sure I kept it in. And then, like, once we, like, you know, I sent it in to the film festival people, all that fuck shit happened after that. My followers cussed them out for not playing the film. And everybody in the comic section was talking about that scene right there. And I was just like, if I shouldn't have been a bitch about it. I was just, I was just tired. I was just like, girl, come on, I'm tired.
A lot of the time, the happy accidents are the things that people latch on to. And they think they are intentional, but it's like, I wasn't always... I wasn't always supposed to be there. Like, so I definitely get that. And I get why you didn't. You was, my nigga, niggas be tired. Like, I don't think people, like, people think, like, you just kind of get the camera and press record. Yeah. And then that's it. That's not it. And it's very tiresome. So I definitely agree. Like, that's that happened on a... That happened on Share My World. I remember there's a part where they kind of sit next to each other, and like Juliet's crying and Robin's giving her a speech, and then she stands up and walks away. And I remember in my head, she always had a book bag on. Like, she I visualized her putting a bag on and saying, you have to share your world, yada, 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 and walking out. But when we were filming it, I realized, fuck, we didn't, I forgot to tell you to get your book bag. Yeah. So I said it to Gavin, and Gavin, understandably so, was kind of like, fam, why does it matter? We gotta go. The camera was gonna die. Like, he was just like, come on, my nigga. Like, well, Gavin didn't say my nigga because he's white. Oh. But Gavin was like, come on, son, like, we gotta get out of here. And I was like, all right. So sometimes a lot of stuff is, but I do get being tired, because it's very tiresome. It's very stressful on everyone, because even if you're just like a PA where you're not doing as much as, oh, say the director or whatever, or even the actors, at the end of the day, like, at a certain point in the shoot, no matter how great the shoot is going, it could be a phenomenal shoot, everybody's energy is going to deplete.
Yeah.
And it could either start with me or the cinematographer or whoever, but somebody's energy is going to go down first, and that's going to trickle down to the other person until everybody in there is ready to leave.
Yeah.
So I get it. I totally get why you didn't want it. You was like, man, come on, son. You gotta do this now.
I was tired. Why my computer trying to restart on me? Leave.
That's like, rough.
Fuck this damn computer. No, don't fuck. No, because you know when you start cussing at y'all electronics, they start acting weird. Like, no. Yeah, I was tired. I was just like, because that night before, I had filmed two videos the night before because, we hate YouTube. I filmed two videos the night before, and then I had to pack up all this shit. I had it, like, sitting at the door. I had a whole checklist and everything, because I was like, I'm not forgetting anything, because I got to drive all the way across town, and I'm not coming back until we finish. So I did that. And then I was like, okay, let me go to bed. I couldn't sleep because I was too excited to shoot. I was like, I'm actually filming something I want for once. Let's do this. So I was like, okay. Then I packed up the stuff that morning. I had got up real early. And then my friend, she brings her dog every with her. So I was like, let me make sure there's enough space for him to sit in here. And then, like, I said bye to my dad and all that stuff. And my mom and my sister went home. So I just, like, texted her. And then I had to drive to get Shayla. Then I had to drive across town, and then my friend lived like 10 minutes from the location we were filming at. Had to go get her, and then next thing you know, we got to the place. Apparently, the code for us to get into the building wasn't working, so I had to call the lady who owned the fucking Airbnb. It was just like, hey, man, the shit not working. And then one of my actors came, and that was my first time ever meeting her. And I was like, girl, I'm so sorry. This is so unprofessional. She was like, no, girl, you good. You good. And I was just like, okay. So it was so nerve-wracking. We finally got in the damn house. And then I had to, like, you know, check everybody's temperature because, you know, COVID. And then that's when we finally, like, settled in. So I was already just kind of like a nervous wreck before we even started. And then I calmed down as we went. But then we had to go through wardrobe. I had to go through hair and makeup. We had to go over lines. And then they already shot. Like, my scene was the last scene shot for the day. So the other two girls, they did their scene in the living room. And then the other girl did her scene, like, by herself. And then it finally got to my scene. So I was already kind of, like, exhausted because I was the one running the shit in the first place. I had to make sure everything was in order. And then when we finally got to my stuff, it was, like, the energy's kind of, like, boom. And then once, like, time started going, we were almost done with the scene. And then when she got to that door scene, I was like, girl, I'm tired. I can't. I was like, I can't do it. I cannot do it. Mm. Like, being on set all day is exhausting. I wish people would do that, like.
Absolutely.
Like, I've been on set for, like, I think the longest time I've ever been on set was, like, 16 hours. This shit is fucking terrible. Like,
that's rough. Yeah, that's bad.
So, like, I still want to ask you a little bit more about, like, film stuff. So, I said, I know, like, animation is your thing and all that, but, like, would you be open to doing, like, more live-action stuff in the future? Because, I mean, you're not bad at it. You're really good at it, but, like...
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, actually, I wouldn't mind. I was supposed to, before the planet exploded.
Yeah,
I was gonna do another short film in college before we left, but, yeah, no, I wouldn't mind it, because while I love animation and what you can do with it, because you can really legitimately do whatever you want as long as you can draw it, I think I like live action because, for lack of a better term, the results are quicker, right? Like, it is, nothing is easy. Neither one of these professions is easy, but one of them does have a quicker turnaround.
Yeah.
Where you could see what you made faster. you could see the end of the tunnel very quickly. So yeah, I wouldn't mind it, because at the end of the day, what I really love is storytelling, right? Like, I really love that. And before I got to school, the thought of doing something with people wasn't really even on my brain. So school is what, like, opened me up to that. And yeah, I'm grateful for it. So, like, I wouldn't mind doing something else like that.
Wait, so you did Power Cat all by yourself?
Nah. Power K, me and my homeboy Elijah did Power K. The first three were drawn strictly on paper. I would go to Family Dollar, buy printed paper, get my mechanical pencil and flip the page and draw and scan it all on my computer. I would scan everything on my computer and email it to Elijah, and he would trace over it and put the colors. And that's how we did the first three.
Determination.
That's all it was. Cause I remember, I vividly remember we were walking to school one day. We had just met, we'd known each other for like a month or two at the time. But we were walking to school, and he was like, yo, me and you should do a cartoon together one day. And I was like, why don't we just do it right now?
Yeah.
I had the characters already. Like, I had the first episode written, and I just didn't know what I was going to do. He had a graphic tablet, which was something that I didn't have, nor I knew how to use. And we just kind of rocked it out. The first one was written by me. And everything after that was written by both of us. He would come over here. I would have the rough idea of the episode. Like, oh, we'll do an episode about Kiki getting kicked out of school. And come over, and then we'll do an outline. We'll come up with a bunch of jokes, write them all down. He'll leave. I'll format it and make it make sense and actually type out a script with like all the dialogue and everything like that and make sure everything happened. And yeah, it really was the very definition of a two-man show. Like after he stopped doing the ink and paint, the show went completely digital, and I was drawing and inking everything and coloring it. And he was just doing the backgrounds. But he was still helping me write it and everything like that. Around the Christmas one, that's when my friend Josiah got involved. Josiah is the one that does all of the music. He did all of the music for Power K. And yeah, I think that's pretty much the whole machine. Of course, you got all my friends doing the voices. My best friend Nakia was Kiki. My other best friend Tahir was Brad. Friend Janicia was Cree. Elijah himself was Phineas. I was the teacher. Like,
wait, did you leave that to Phineas Flynn?
I did. So look, actually, Phineas is definitely, so Phineas is actually just Phineas from Phineas and Ferb. If you watch the first couple Power AKs, they have the same shirt on, they got the same hair color, the same nose. Like, it's literally just Phineas from Phineas and Ferb. And the joke was taking a really happy character like Phineas that is uncharacteristically happy and placing him in a situation where he is around people that have the cynical nature of real people in the real world. Because everybody in Power K is, aside from Cree, everybody in Power K is pretty much an asshole. And having to see a character like Phineas deal with that, and that's why they're so mean to him, because it's like, what are you so happy for? Like, what are you actually so happy for? You know what I mean? So that's why they're so mean to him in the whole run of the show. And the teacher's name is Mr. Povemeyer. He's named after Dan Povemeyer, who created Phineas and Ferb. So there was a lot of Phineas and Ferb shit in Power K, because I was obsessed back then. That was my favorite show at the time.
That's cute. That's really cute.
I appreciate that. You know, it was really sweet.
Yeah. Oh, I like talking to people about, because I've been wanting to talk to you more about like film and stuff like that. And I was like, how the fuck do you go about that? Because I'm like, is he still interested in doing live?
Send me a like, message.
You know me. You know, I always feel like I'm annoying the shit out of everybody. Like,
no, but if it's about film, I don't care.
Why are you like this?
What? How? Okay, if it's about film, I don't care.
Okay, I don't know. I just feel like I annoy the shit out of everybody. That's why when I was like, can you still be on my podcast? And you were like, yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm annoying him. And I'm like, no, it's just,
I was really nonchalant. It was like, yeah, sure. Okay.
Oh no, I'm trying to do better about that where I was like, I feel like I annoy everyone I'm friends with. I even made a whole fucking rant, like vent video about it. And people were like, I relate to you. I was like, okay, I'll do better. I'll do better about talking to people I'm friends with because you don't annoy people. They like you. It's okay. Like, I have to scream at myself sometimes. And now we're finally getting to talking to peanuts. Yay.
Peanuts.
Yeah. Let's do it. I prefer cashews, but yeah.
Gross. It sounds like, didn't Keek say that? Jeez.
No, I actually prefer eating cashews. I like cashews better than peanuts. I can't even eat
cashews do before. Rock. I'm not hating. I like cashews.
I'm bad because I can't even eat cashews no more because, like, you know, I got like bad eczema and cashews make my eczema worse. And so I stopped eating them. And then the other day I was like, I don't give a fuck. I want some cashews. And I ate it and then my mouth like broke out and started getting cuts everywhere. And I was like, yeah, we can't do this no more. Ooh, I'm mad. I was like, should I deal with the pain? Should I not? But anyway, let's get back into peanuts. Hey, the other
almonds
nut.
Make the top of my mouth itch.
I don't. Almonds, okay. I like almond butter, but actual almonds by themselves don't taste right to me. I don't know what it is.
I don't mind almonds. I just know that they make the roof of my mouth itch.
It hurt when I bite down on them. I was like, I can't do that. And the peanuts are just, I like peanut butter, but like actual peanuts are like kind of boring. Like
boring. I mean, you ever had honey roasted peanuts? Maybe that's just speed.
I never had honey roasted peanuts before. My mom tried to make me eat some before. She was like, "Go have some peanuts." I was like, "I want peanut butter." She was like, "No, regular peanuts." And I was like, "I don't want it then."
Try honey roasted. That might. If you think peanuts are boring, try honey roasted peanuts, and that might be what you need. That might be the peanuts that you needed.
Because I need a new healthy snack to eat because I can't eat fucking cashews no more.
I don't think honey roasted peanuts are healthy. I didn't say that much. I just said that you should try them.
It's better to eat chips.
Yeah, I guess it is better than eating chips, but
yeah, let's go ahead and get back into peanuts. So something I like about like peanuts, like I talked to you about this before, but I was like, it's like they're kids, but they act like adults at the same time. So that's something I really enjoy about it. And I really do appreciate you reviewing all the peanut specials. Okay. Oh, like I really do enjoy these videos. Like I said, I'm like, what are the next episode coming out? Like I've been like super duper busy. Like over like the last week, I didn't get around to watching volume 3 until today. And I was like, I think this might be one of my favorite videos he's done so far, mainly because like the Franklin section for me like got me, and you know how I be. So I really do enjoy like you doing all the peanut specials, and like I said, it actually like makes me actually want to go out and watch these, which I did. I watched a few of them, and he watched me. You know how that went.
Yes.
Wait till you get to that one because I'm just
it's like, not gonna be for a while, but I'll get there.
I know, but I was just like, this is I was laughing the entire time, but like it's weird because when I watched that one, my dad was like sitting next to me on like his computer doing whatever, and I was on my computer just watching it, and he was just like looking at me. He was like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I don't know what the fuck I just watched. I didn't say what the fuck because I can't say it to my dad. I can't, right. But you know, but I was just like, I don't know what I just watched. And he was just looking at me like, are you watching? I was like, yes, leave me alone, just leave me alone, it's a mess. But like I said, that made me actually want to go and watch like the peanut shorts, which I did. And where does this love for peanuts come from? Like, I'm genuinely curious.
That's a loaded one. All right. I think long story less long, my love for peanuts comes from my childhood. It comes from my grandma. When I was a kid, she would show me the specials when they aired, Christmas, Great Pumpkin, like Thanksgiving. Those are the three. Those are the main three. I would catch Valentine, Be My Valentine. That's the one, right? I think it'd be My Valentine, Charlie Brown.
That's the one I had on watch when I was on my little binge. I like that one.
I like that one too.
The way it ended though, I was just like, I didn't know whether to laugh or to be happy. The way it ended, where he was like, because nobody gave him a Valentine. And then he would start screaming at himself, like, no, y'all don't need to be giving me. I was just like, can you just let this nigga take the Valentine, please?
It's crazy because like, I think that one's, That one's next, actually. It's in the next video. It's one of the next ones I got to talk about. But I like that one. I like that one a lot.
I can't wait for that one.
But yeah, we used to watch all of those.
My dumb ass pressed something when I, my computer restarted on its own. Sorry. So, we're back. But as we were talking about Peanuts, the question was, where did this love of Peanuts come from?
Love of Peanuts came from watching them all the time with my grandma. She put me on. I watch all the specials. When the holidays came, they would come home with mad VHS. Anytime a new one came out, that's how I seen a lot of the ones that came out early 2000s.
Yeah.
After Charles Schulz died, but Bill Melendez was still around, so he was still directing them. A Boy Named Charlie Brown was a film that we watched a whole bunch. We had that on VHS. I watched that a lot. So that's where my connection to that film came from. Not even just that, like when the newspapers was coming, she was reading the strips to me. Like, it was really extensive. Like, when I think of Peanuts, when I think of Charlie Brown, I think of not just my grandma, but like the area we lived at, like that house. Like, I think of like a lot of really nostalgic shit. And I think what's cool about having a property like that be that is because Peanuts is almost tailor-made to be that kind of nostalgic type of vibe. You know what I mean? Like, it's really wholesome and it's really sweet. Not only so, but it has a lot to say. It has a lot more to say than stuff that came before it and stuff that came after it. And it's cool too when the thing that you love the most also is like really high regarded. So like not until I became an adult and like would randomly see some like weird edgelord niggas like just trying to be cool, like even people that don't really care about Charlie Brown, they just kind of just be like, oh, I don't really care, and they just kind of leave it as that. Like every once in a while now you'll just see like some random dickhead like, oh fuck that nigga, he always sad. Like, it's like, whatever. But really, Peanuts is the most inoffensive thing on the face of earth. Like, you just, it's designed to make you think, it's designed to make you care, it's designed to make you breathe. And that's what I really appreciate about it. And so when the doing every Peanut special thing, I've had that idea for 2 years. Like, it was another one of those things where, like, I remember coming up with it and writing it down in my notes. And but the reason it took me so long to get to it was because last year, in 2019, when I came up with the idea, I was like, all right, I'm going to start it in 2020. Like, I'm gonna go month by month. And what better way to fresh start than January 2020? But what ended up happening was January 2020, I did that Alvin Show video, which is mad infamous in my career because, number one, it was the first video that I instantly disliked as soon as I posted it.
Yeah.
That never happened before. I mean, now I've lightened up on it. Yeah, now I've lightened up on it now.
I like all your videos, so like... Oh, even the ones we talk about Family Guy, I still like them. I
fucking love Family Guy. I lightened up on that video, but back then I hated it. And then a lot of stuff happened with that. Like, and I was getting like rude comments, and it got claimed out of nowhere, and then I got a strike, my first copyright strike. Like, a lot of bad stuff happened with that video. And what was gonna happen was the Alvin Show video was gonna happen, then I was gonna do the first parts of the Peanuts thing right after it.
Yeah.
However, the stuff centered around the Alvin Show video was so rough that I just like was like, man, I'm not even gonna, I disappeared. Like, I just, like, I deleted, like, the YouTube studio app. Like, I was going crazy. Like, I just kind of was like, man,
wait, I'm about hold to on. Just... What were the comments saying? Like, were they that bad? Like,
they weren't, but I was extremely irritable because I had put out something that I didn't like. And then you got people saying, some nigga dissected what I said about Alvin. Like, he was like, see, the Alvin that you sticking up for is mad selfish, yada, yada, yada.
It's just a damn cartoon.
Yada, yada, yada. And it's like, fam, I never said one was better than the other. I just was saying, hey, they do this here, they do that here. I like both. That is all the video was saying. And it was comments like that that just pissed me off. Other people saying stuff that I obviously knew. They were like, well, actually, the reason that they spoke that way was because they had to speed the track up. I know. I'm not an idiot. I was making a joke. Like, I don't know. So stuff like that was really making me mad. But again, really minuscule stuff when you think about it in the grand scheme of things. But that's what happens when you're really irritable. Like, I was really irritable because I felt like I didn't put out something that I liked, and it wasn't enough time to fix it because it was a sponsored video and it had to be out, and I just kind of had to live with it.
Yeah.
And I take real pride in the videos, and I always try to make sure that I'm really proud of them when I put them out. And up until that point, I never had a single video not to be proud of. I liked all of them for different reasons. Even the ones that I had to rush, I still liked them for all different reasons. But that was the first one that I didn't, and that was really upsetting. And it threw stuff off for a while. It took me months until I was able to come back. So that's what stopped me from doing the Peanuts thing. When this year came along, I was like, yo, I'm not going to let another year go by, and I don't do this.
Yeah.
So as soon as school was finished, when school finished, I ran and I went to Virginia and I stayed with my brother for a month.
Yeah.
And in doing that, I put together the first Charlie Brown video at his house. And it was cool. It was cool. And the Peanuts videos don't perform well. But the people that like them really like them, which I really do appreciate. I had a feeling that they wouldn't do astronomical.
Yeah.
I still just kind of felt like it was important to log these.
Yeah.
Because, like, people could, right, I could have just, fuck it, every Peanut special review, one long video. Like, I could have went crazy. I really legitimately could have.
That 4-hour long video. And I watched it all in one night.
Oh yeah, you were a trooper. Even Deli recommended not doing that.
I was exhausted after I watched that video. Why did I do this? I don't even watch 4-hour long movies.
Yeah, Deli recommended even not doing that. But yeah, I could have did that. I really could have. But my thought process was more like, nah, man, I want to live with these for a while. I want to spend time with them, and I want the audience to spend time with them too. And I want it to kind of feel like a journey almost, them watching along. And I don't know. I think it'll be like a nice little project to sit back and look at, and you see all of these Peanuts things. And the way it's working out is there's going to be 11 parts. There's enough Peanut specials for it to be 11 parts, 4 specials at a time, 1 video a month. But the last one is going to have 5 specials.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then so it'll end in November. And then I have something in particular planned for December that I probably shouldn't say. But it'll be the thing that caps it off in December. And I think it'd be cool. I don't know. People are really weird about, I just want all of them to come out and then I watch them all like that. It's like, fam, if that's how you come in, you about to be waiting for a year.
You waiting like, for a minute how about, now.
I wouldn't put them out one by one if I didn't think they were digestible on their own. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's one thing if you're not into it, but it's another thing if you just kind of putting yourself through a ringer that, like, they're literally not designed for. Like, they're just kind of not designed for that. They're designed so for them to be kind of like a experience thing. But yeah, man, peanuts rocks. Peanuts is really important to me, and I'm happy that, like, even you saying that, like, the videos got you wanting to watch them, and they actually made you go watch them. Like, I like that. I like that. I'm a part of keeping that alive, because I've always kind of been scared that we're gonna get to a point where, like, parents are gonna stop passing these down to their kids.
Yeah,
and kids aren't gonna know who they are, because I feel like some people of our generation have kind of just been like dusted off or whatever, like, dust the peanut specials off and all the other stuff that they cherish is, I don't know, other stuff we grew up with, like stuff on Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon and stuff like that. And that's probably what they'll pass down to their kids. But the peanut stuff is dope, and it's really sincere, and it's the kind of stuff that I don't just think kids need. It's the type of stuff that I think people need.
Yeah.
Like, to breathe, you know what I mean? Like, so...
I, like, yeah, I genuinely enjoy peanuts, though, like, because I was going back and watch. I don't know, like, I'm the type of person where I kind of, I'm working, like, on a video about, like, PBS Kids, and it reminded me, like, peanuts reminded me of so much why I like the content on PBS Kids a lot, because I noticed a lot of it was, like, really wholesome, if that makes sense, because I get so annoyed, like, watching a lot of, like, cartoons on, like, Nicktoons and, like, you know, Cartoon Network and Disney Channel, because it's like they're so filled with, like, adult, like, humor, not that kind of adult humor where it's like only jokes adults would get, because I noticed Peanuts has some of those too, but, like, sex jokes and, like, gross out humor and things like that. It is, like, it's a nice, like, change, like, watching the Peanut specials, because I'm just like, I don't feel irritated watching this shit. Like, I feel like everybody can enjoy this. Like, it's so fucking annoying. Like, I hate that shit. And also,
it's really inoffensive.
It's not. Also, I really, like, I'm still thinking about the Franklin, the stuff you were talking about, Franklin. I really
am glad
you put that in there. Like, I feel like, because I always got so annoyed when I saw people, like, you know, just sharing around that picture of, like, them sitting at the table, and it was just Franklin on the side of the table by himself, and then everybody else was over there. You know, I'm big on, like, representation. I always is, like, looking to, like, the token black kid character and, like, everything. So I was like, is he gonna speak about Franklin? And I was like, oh, I'm happy he did. And the thing about it is that I feel like it was just kind of bad. What's the, I don't want to say, like, bad timing. What's the word? Like, it just kind of didn't turn out well, because I'm like, I don't think they purposely put Franklin on that side of the table to be racist. I think it just happened that way. Like,
yeah, because even my explanation in the video was more about, like, the staging and, you know, like, Peppermint Patty has to be next to Charlie Brown, yada yada yada. Yeah. But even then, like, I also say, it's like, there's two things about it. Number one, it could be kind of an unconscious bias thing, right? Like, whoever animated or drew it,
yeah,
probably did it without thinking and being like, and just probably didn't notice and just did it unconsciously. Yeah. Doesn't mean that there's any malicious intent behind it. And also, again, it could just be a drawing. Like, it actually could be. It really could just be a drawing and not worth this much thought. But I think, I don't know, it's like seeing those tweets and everything like that, it infuriates me, but not because I'm like, oh, these people, they think it's racist, they're complaining about nothing. It's like, no, I think it kind of makes me a little annoyed, because I don't think people know who Franklin is and where Franklin comes from and the history behind him and how important he is. Like, and I think that's what gets me, is the fact that they kind of just treat Franklin as almost like a borderline throwaway just by putting a picture up. Like, man, they had Franklin sitting in the side. They did my boy bad. That's not your boy. You don't know Franklin. You don't know his last name. Like, that's not your boy. And it, I don't know. I don't know. That kind of stuff always bothers me. So it was important for me to make sure that I spoke about it, because that was something that I, ever since starting it, I was like, I'm gonna have to come up on this, and I'm gonna have to figure out a way to talk about it. And I was worried. Like, I actually was, like, in putting it together, like, I don't checked it mad times. I don't watched it back a lot. I don't send it to people like, yo, what do you think it is? Am I missing something? Like, I was just really, really scared, because I didn't want to come off as an asshole. I didn't want to come off as a know-it-all. And I didn't want to come off as invalidating anybody or make it sound like I was putting a cape on for Franklin. And, like, you know what I mean? Because Franklin's depiction of Peanuts is not perfect whatsoever. Get to all that. I get to it. There are stereotypes there. They are there. I promise you they are. But, and I'll get to that stuff when I get to it. But this isolated incident about him sitting at the table, I always kind of thought was a little bizarre. I'm not gonna lie. But I don't know. Franklin's important. He really is. And
we love Franklin.
I'm glad you liked that part, because I was really proud of that when I put it together.
Yeah. You know that, you know how I am, where I'm just like, representation fucking matters. And I was like, I really did like that part. I had to pause it after that. I was like, I'm proud of Tariq for adding this in here. I really am proud of you. Because I was just like, is he gonna add it? Is he not? Like, I was like, okay, he did. I'm happy. Okay, I feel better. I feel a little bit better. Because I just be feeling like I'll be overreacting a lot when I be talking about, like, the way Black characters are, like, portrayed and, like, seen in, like, children's television. I'm just like, maybe nobody understands. Nobody gives a fuck. And then when I saw, like, what you said about Franklin, I was like, okay, I'm not alone. I feel a lot better about this, that, like, somebody actually does care about the way Black kids are portrayed in, especially, like, animation, children's animation, because I always get comments, it ain't that fucking deep. It's just a kid's cartoon. No, it is that deep, because I'm like, Franklin is probably the only time you probably saw yourself in a Peanuts cartoon, because I know it's the only time I see myself. That's the only Black kid up in there. Like,
yeah.
I just wish people would, like, think, if that makes sense. Like, it's not that deep. It may not be that deep to you, but you never know what Franklin did for another Black child. Like, you don't get that.
Right. That's why it was so cool to hear Rob Armstrong, the guy that I put at the end of the Franklin thing, the author that creates the Jumpstart comic. That's why it was so cool to hear what he had to say, because I found that footage while just looking for footage of Franklin.
Yeah.
And I watched that and I heard him talk about it. And it was really cool to see that, like, it's like, yo, Charles Schulz not only inspired me, but he was a fan of my work and he really admired what I was able to do with Black characters, because he also thought it was important. You know what I mean? And him saying, like, just Franklin existing made me realize that I could have my career. Like, that's super important. Yeah. However, there could be another Black comic strip artist who Franklin doesn't mean anything to.
Yeah.
And that's fine too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, some things I care about, you don't care about. Some things you care about, I don't care about. But at the end of the day, everything matters to someone. But it's just important that we approach things with nuance and respect. That's really all it is. You know what I mean? Respect for each party, respect for each side. I see what you're saying. However, this is how I feel.
Yeah.
And then that's just kind of how we do it, man. And I don't know. I appreciate those kind of conversations more. And then instead of just, like, screaming head, you're wrong, this is bad, you sound dumb. It's like, all right, my nigga. Yeah. Like, nothing gets accomplished that way.
It's frustrating. Like, I get those kind of comments every day. That's why, like, especially, like, when Man made the video on Black representation, like, why representation matters. What is it called?
Why it matters.
That one. I really love that video.
I'm messing up my homeboy's video.
That one. I really appreciate that one. I was like, okay, I'm not fucking crazy for it. Actually caring about this right here, but
I thought what he did was really smart,
yeah,
just having a bunch of people Like it, he made it. He did it smartly to make it seem like, hey, it's not just me. Here are other people detailing why it was important to them. Also, it's, I thought it was really smart.
So we're still, since we're talking about characters, on the that goes into like our next question. So I have three, kind of like a, that's four fingers. I always do that, yeah. But three. I've always had that bad habit ever since I was like in cheer camp. And they're like, Nicole, put up three fingers, and I will go ahead and do this. And they're like, Nicole, that's four. I'm like, no, it's three. And then I look, and I'm like, oh, it is. But
that's rough. This,
I don't know. But like I said, I have three. So who's your favorite character? Who's your least favorite character? And then who do you think is the best character in Peanuts?
Peanuts?
Yeah.
Favorite character is 1000% Peppermint Patty. I love Peppermint Patty. Peppermint Patty is so funny. Like, I love the very distinct voice they always give it, because Peanuts is always played by kids.
Yeah.
So they always change the voices, but they always kind of find the same kind of either little girl or little boy to sound like Peppermint Patty. And it's great. I love it so much. Yeah, Peppermint Patty is just great. Everything she does is great. Damn, do I have a least favorite Peanuts character? Because I kind of like, I don't, I guess because I pick on him a lot. I don't really like Shermie, I guess, because Shermie just kind of has no personality. I don't know. I know people don't like Violet or Patty. Not Peppermint Patty, Patty. I know people don't like Violet Patty. Or Patty. Patty? Okay, you know Violet?
Okay, I know. Yeah, she was bending that shit. That's Violet. That's how I remember
Violet,
her.
Violet is the one with the green dress.
Yeah.
Patty is the girl with the orange dress.
I remember a girl in an orange dress.
It's has brown hair and orange. You can just type in Patty.
Patty, yeah, Peanuts.
Patty.
Okay, yeah. I don't want Peppermint Patty to come up. Wait. Okay.
Peppermint Patty probably won't come up because there really are two different characters.
Okay, her Peanuts life, the new one design came up. Hold up. Okay.
Orange dress.
That's Marcy, first of all.
Marcy with no glasses.
No, hold on. Okay, her dress is green in the new one. Like,
yeah, okay. Man, they gave Violet. And they made her blonde, I think. Is she okay, blonde?
She's blonde. That's why I was confused. Like,
they mess up a lot in the Peanuts movie.
Yeah.
And they get, so they, which, okay, I guess I get, they gave Violet a violet dress in the Peanuts movie. But, yeah, then they swapped her dress color with Patty and gave Patty the lime green dress. And then they made her fucking blonde, which I don't get. But yeah, I know people don't like Violet and Patty because of how mean they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of how mean they are. I get it. They kind of had that mob mentality thing going on, and they kind of just rallied behind Lucy. But I do get laughs out of them. I love Lucy.
No, Lucy, Lucy's a good character, not gonna lie. But she reminds me of a lot of the girls that used to be like really mean to me. That's why I'm like, ooh, I can't stand this bitch right now. But
I get you. Yeah. I know people don't like them, but I think I don't like Shermie just because he doesn't fucking do anything.
Yeah.
Like, he's just kind of a waste of space.
Yeah.
And the first, in the very first Peanut strip, it's Shermie and Patty, and they're sitting on a curb, and Charlie Brown comes running down the street, and they're watching him as he runs down the street, and Shermie goes, there goes good old Charlie Brown. Yep, good old Charlie Brown. How I hate him. It's like, my nigga.
Well, damn, what did he do to you?
Nothing to you. Like, he ain't do nothing. Like, he ain't do nothing to him. So, yeah, Shermie kind of sucks. Who do I think is the best?
Yeah.
Like,
written and all that. Like, character development, like that. That's what I mean when I'm like, the best character.
It's a toss-up between either Charlie Brown or Linus.
Okay.
For me, because I feel like, obviously, Charlie Brown goes through the most stuff, and Charlie Brown has the most arcs. But I feel like Linus is really smartly written because he's really complex. Yeah. Linus is the one that, like, knows all of the stories about history and the Bible. He's the one that leads all the prayers. Like, he is very knowledgeable, philosophical. He always knows the right thing to say. But he is also extremely insecure to the point where he has to carry a security blanket. He still sucks his thumb. He's still a child. He does all of these things that a child wouldn't do, but he still has a lot of childlike things that he can't shake, and that's just part of who he is. He's still, even in his interactions with Lucy, one thing I like about Linus and Lucy together is that Linus clearly knows more than Lucy, but he never talks down to her because he still respects the fact that that's his older sister. Like, it's really complex when you think about Linus. So I think I'm gonna lock in Linus, actually. I think Linus might be the best one just because he has the most interesting complex to me, like, in just how he's put together.
It's interesting.
We got
And I know
Linus.
you said Char I don't know, you said Charlie Brown was the character you relate to the most in Peanuts. How come?
Well, so Charlie Brown, more so because of how I grew up and my insecurities and stuff like that. The thing about growing up on Peanut specials is that you see when you're a little black boy, they kind of tell you, yo, stop crying, stop being a punk, yada, yada, yada. And a lot of black boys internalize that and they don't cry. They don't show emotion and they grow up to be men and then they have difficulty showing that in relationships and stuff like that because they kind of were taught that they shouldn't do that. But the thing about me is that, like, I grew up on Charlie Brown, and Charlie Brown is a character who wore his emotions on his sleeve. If he was sad, he would say he was sad. And I just kind of thought, this is how you're supposed to do it. Like, I just kind of thought, like, okay, like, it is, you're supposed to let it be known how you feel. And that's what I got from him, and that's kind of what, like, I relate to him so much, and just kind of like how he feels a lot of the time. Charlie Brown, I feel like he's written in a way where he is the internal voice that everybody has. He just says how everybody feels about themselves every once in a while, which I really appreciate. But as an adult, I'm finding out that I resonate a lot with Schroeder, which I'm surprised about. That's the cool thing about doing these videos, is that, like, you learn a lot not only about yourself but about the characters. You get to see them in different ways. I didn't realize how much I saw myself in Schroeder because Schroeder, number one, is really heavy on artistic integrity. And number two, Schroeder is all about his work. Lucy and them, they could come over, they could chill, whatever, they could talk to him while he in there, but he gonna be playing that piano, my nigga. He gonna be playing that piano. Like, I think back to high school, my friends wanting to come over and chill with me, they come over and chill with me. I'm still doing Power of K on the laptop while you sitting over there. Like, I'm still doing it. Like, I'm still working. I'm still finding a way to do my art and do what I want to do. And he's like, "Oh, you always drawing?" Yeah, because that's me. And I like that's what I like about Shorter is that that's him, and he doesn't care. Like, he does. It's not. And it's not unhealthy either, though, because Shorter's still on the baseball team. Like, he still goes outside and does stuff, right? But if he got any free time, that's what he is. And I respect that. I really like that about Schroeder. I really appreciate that. And I see a lot of myself in that. So Charlie Brown and Schroeder, for sure. Both of them niggas.
We're getting close to the end. So I always like start every like podcast off, like episode off, and I name it after like a quote from Descendants. And usually when I bring a guest
Oh,
on,
no.
I try. So why you gotta act like that?
All
No,
I said was, oh no.
you're the only person that did that. Like,
I am.
yeah. And the other one, they were like, oh, that's cool. Cause usually I used to
This is really like... on brand. For us, the whole podcast, we were nice to each other. And so now I can finally say, like, oh, gross. Ew, yuck. Yucky. It can finally be me. I keep stepping on you. Please go ahead and explain.
Okay, usually every time I pick a quote from them horrible ass movies, I have a really bad relationship with the sentence. You already know this shit. But I always pick it up based off like what I talk about or like the guest that I bring on. So every time I bring a guest on, the quote usually like is something that makes me think of them. So this is the quote I picked for you. It's "No laughing, wrinkles." That was the dismiss quote today because your ass be having me laughing all the time. Like, even before I became friends with you, my ass was laughing. So, yeah. Because in the scene, the girl was laughing and her mom was like, don't fucking laugh. Like, the sentence is terrible. Oh, because
you'll get wrinkles?
Yeah, because she's like, her mom like wanted her to like be like super duper pretty all the time. And she was like, you can't laugh, you're going to get wrinkles. And her, the sentence has a little like kind of like self-identity issues and shit like that. It's not good. It's a hot ass mess. But like I said, your videos always make me laugh. So that's why I picked that quote up for you. And last question. What's next for Terrific Tariq?
Oh, gross. All right.
Shut up. No. No. Like, we were doing so good. We were being nice to each other for about an hour. And now the asshole comes out. Okay.
No, I'm fucking with you. What's next for Toontastic Tyrone?
Teenalicious Tyler.
We doing Peanuts Volume 4.
Yay, let's go.
Sometime in April, maybe the most likely to end. I don't think that's gonna be the next thing. I'm doing a video on hip hop and animation, how hip hop has been represented in animation throughout the years.
Yeah.
The good and the bad, and what it particularly means. I got two guest appearances on that video that I think are really cool that people will really like when the video comes out.
Yeah.
What else is there? Podcast, doing a podcast with my homeboy Johnny Two Cellos called Cartoons That Curse. That will be out Monday, April 5th. We're dropping the first episode. Okay. So that's happening and that's gonna be really cool. It's a show about a podcast about adult animation. And we go season by season. We start with the Fox seasons of Futurama, the first four seasons. And it's been really cool recording that. It's been really fun. You'll get to see me and Johnny become comfortable with each other because the first episode, it's not bad, but it is kind of awkward comparing to the one that we just recorded. Yeah. But it's really cool to see that happen. What else is there? I do kind of have an idea for a Futurama video that I want to do, but I don't know if I'm going to get to it. Other shows that I'm gonna do by the end of the year include Mission Hill, Daria, and
we love Daria.
What's the last one? Gemini Holograms. I don't know how, but at least those three are getting done before the year is over somehow. And all three of those are gonna be really fun. Yeah, just a lot of peanuts. A lot of animation fun, just all fun stuff. We're just gonna try to keep it fun. We're gonna try to keep it wholesome, try to keep it inoffensive. Just want to give everybody a break and have things to laugh at, to smile at. You know what I mean? That's all that counts.
I can't wait for that Daria video because you know I already have thoughts and opinions about Daria. I was like, Tariq taking too damn long to make this Daria video. I'm gonna start making my own until he releases his. So I'm patiently waiting.
I'll get there when I get there.
Like, tell everybody what your social media is so they can go follow you if they already don't.
Yeah. TOONRIFTARIQ, head of the Offbeat Kiki fan club, Family Guy apologist. One half of the Cartoons That Curse podcast, one
Harry fourth Hook's of the biggest Esteron hater
podcast,
Harry Hook's biggest hater.
Yep. Yeah, me. Twitter is my name, Toomerific Tariq. YouTube is Toomerific Tariq. Letterboxd is Toomerific Tariq. Instagram is toons.reek, but the O's in toons are zeros. And yeah, I think that's it. This was fun. Thanks. Thanks for having me here and asking me a bunch of peanuts questions. I wasn't expecting that, but I'm glad that I got asked a bunch of peanuts questions. That was fun.
Yeah. So you think I did pretty well?
Yeah.
Every time I try to like
pretty interview. Good.
Pretty good. Shut up. Stop. Every time I'm even like so nervous when I bring people on because I'm like, I don't want it to feel like an interview. I kind of wanted to feel like a conversation with my friends. So I was like, you know what? Let me think real hard about these questions. And I was like, you know what? Because I've listened to like other interviews you've done before. And I was like, I don't think anyone's ever asked him about peanuts. So I think that would be good to talk about. And I've actually been really interested in peanuts lately too. And then I was like, has anybody ever talked to him about his films? I was like, I don't think so. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do that because I'm really interested in that. I just, like I said, I like to have, every time I bring my friends on and interview them, I like it to feel like a conversation. So that's it for today's episode. Bye, Tariq. Thank you again for
coming. Bye, Tariq. Aha, you gotta cut it off now. You gotta end it with that.
Okay, bye, Tariq.
Bye, Tariq. Okay.
I am Harriana Hook, and thank you for listening to the Memoir of a Descendant Stand.